As I was thinking about what to share today, I just feel like there could be so many things, and I wanted to give you maybe a little of each. I was just kind of like asking the Lord what to share, and he was like, oh, just give them snippets, you know. So you can always grab out your pen and paper and write down what stands out to you the most, and maybe what the Lord is highlighting to you. I thought about what could be the topic, and world changers came up. Just us seeing ourselves as world changers, going to Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And also, how will you go? You know, Bible talks about going. But in our 21st century that we live in, there are so many different ways in which we can go. But before I jump into that, I just want to share a little bit with you on YWAM. And YWAM is an international missions organization, Christian missions organization. We have campuses in over 171 countries around the world. Some of them might not be on the YWAM map or pointed out. You might not be able to find it on Google because of just... In some countries, we can't be really exposed, so it's a little bit hidden. But at least over 171 countries across the world. It started in 1960. A young man, called Lauren Cunningham, when he was 13 years old, he got a vision from the Lord about young people crashing on the shores like waves. And so if you have ever seen a YWAM sign, the YWAM sign before, It's called the Yo Man, and it's kind of like one upper wave coming into a lower wave. And so the upper wave is the Holy Spirit, and the lower wave is the young people crashing in from on the seashores from all over the world. And there's a little shape of a head in the middle. We call it the Yo Man. And so that's been started since 1960. Last year was our 50th anniversary. And Lauren Cunningham challenged us that if he, as one man, could go around the world and just spread out what the Lord was sharing with him, we can do it too, because there's more of us in a church. And so overall, that would be my main challenge to you today, that we find just different ways how to go. And I'll be sharing maybe just a little bit on how you can go further down. We have three main foci. We focus on evangelism, mercy ministries, and training. Evangelism can come in any form, whether it's street ministry, playing music on the street side, which I think these guys are so awesome for. Like, you guys must definitely have a street side drumming one of these days, hopefully before I leave, so I can jump into that. Evangelism takes place in many ways. It could be house evangelism, you're going in to live with a family, street evangelism, or, working with evangelizing in your profession, using your profession as an area of evangelism. Not necessarily like messing up your co-worker's work day, but understanding that the gifting that the Lord has blessed you with, the ability that you have best you, whether you're a banker or a farmer or whoever, find ways how to use that profession and evangelize through it. So if you're going to sell eggs to Isaac, then I'd be like, hey, Isaac, here's an egg for you. Pray that the Lord would, bless you and may it feed your family. Find a way how to connect it to what the Lord is doing. How does that egg connect to what the Lord is doing? That's your homework. The Lord created the egg, it can provide. And, just different ways to find how your profession can influence the people who you're with. Because some people think evangelism has to be done in a specific way, but we can create new ways how to evangelize. Training, we have University of the Nations and different training courses. So we have like DTS, which is Discipleship Training School. It's a 5-month training program, and it really is a time where you just get away from what you're accustomed to, move into the DTS. You're really 3 months of lecture phase that's teaching you about the Lord, His character, who He created you to be, just deepening your relationship in the Lord and understanding who God is more and why He created you. So that's DTS. We have School of Performing Arts. We have School of the Bible. We have Foundations in Community Development. So there are different training schools that YWAM offer to just strengthen your biblical understanding and in the way that you would understand God. Some people might understand God more through photography. Some maybe more through snowboarding. You know, just different things that you're attracted to. It could be even design or, you know, arts. So that's under the training aspect of YWAM. And you get like accreditation for each course you do. So it can add up to an associate's, a bachelor's, a master's degree. Because we believe that the education system was created as a tool that we can share the gospel as well. And last but not least, we have Mercy Ministries. And that's like working with people on the street, building a home for somebody who really needs a home. Anything that has to do with mercy and helping people and caring for people. What do you call those? Midwifery, the ladies who deliver the babies. So stuff like that come under Mercy Ministries. And yeah, it's all linked to University of the Nations and YWAM all across the world. One of the big highlights that I think of Lauren Cunningham in his book is that Really You, God, was when he was about 16 or 18, he had a very wealthy aunt, and she offered him a prominent position in her business. And, you know, he prayed about it. And it was really hard for him to give up that, to follow this vision that the Lord had given him, even though he had no clue what it would be 50 years after. And so, like, sometimes we have to learn how to, like, dream with God and to see that our purpose is really bigger than who we are. So sometimes you might think, oh, I'm just this one person or this one family with so many challenges in my life. What can I do to influence the world? But like Martin Luther, like Lauren Cunningham, like so many great men that we read of in the Bible, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, you know, different people, and even the ones that we don't know about who were behind the scenes, each of them believed that the purpose, the gifting, the abilities that the Lord blessed them with would be used to impact a nation, impact a family, impact a single individual. Because you think about, how does my purpose wrapped up into the next person, you know? Like, how is your purpose wrapped up into helping to establish your wife into who she really is? You know, and so don't hold back, no matter how small you think your gifting or ability is. Or maybe, you know, like some gifting and abilities, you can see it more. Let's say for an artist, you might see his thing more versus a bank manager. You might not see his work so easily. But it might be the bank manager who helps the artist to publish his work. So it like works hand in hand, you know. And so don't think that your gifting is lesser than the other person's, because they all go together to form the puzzle. And so, oh, there's something like that happening here. What a thing. I didn't even realize. Okay, God. Maybe the Lord is saying something there. So your purpose is bigger than you. So don't think about, you know, because we always tend to focus on what we cannot do rather than what can we do, you know, and just realizing how much it blesses the person beside you, how much it blesses your neighbor or somebody at work or somebody on the street. Because that's how the Lord created us, like to be independent, intergenerational, you know, interdenominational, multicultural. And as I look around in this church, that's exactly what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the generations. I'm seeing the multiculture. You know, I'm seeing just so many things, a family. And everything that the Lord does, He wants to do it in a group setting, in a family setting, because in families, you learn something from one, you learn something from the other. Somebody might kick you and say, come on, get up, you know. Or somebody might say, go and do your homework. Or you know, somebody might defend you when it's time for war. And that's why we need families. And so the Lord places us in families. Or somebody might pinch you all the time. or like slap you with a pan when when they see you. And then there's always the fighting times too. So it's part of being a family. You will have quarrels, you will have fight. But when it's time to stick together, you're always there, you know? You know, just don't mess with them, you know? So yeah, your purpose is bigger than you. And I think of, like, when we think of what we're doing, do we see the eternal value in it? Like, working with the kids, the youth, do you see the eternal value in that? I thought of Francine and just how we connected. Where's Francine? Yes. She just quickly chatted with me on the phone, and I was like, yes, I'll come down and help you guys out. And it's been such a blessing working with all these youth down by Francine Place and just hanging with the guys and doing all sorts of things. Like, you know, just stepping out and believing in something the Lord has spoken to you and doing it. Mind you, the timing, there's just also an understanding of the timing on when to do what, you know. And as I talk about that, I think about myself in how there are some things I wanted to do and felt like I had to do it now. But, you know, the Lord knows when we are ready. So it's always good to just give back your ideas and your dreams to Him so that He can work on that. I talked about just even the generations and how each generation builds on a next. And I think of like a picture of a Bible, like, you know, if you have Bibles and you think of like, can I close this? And I'm going to need to borrow like 3 more Bibles. Your great, great, great grandmother, she was reading her Bible and praying and had her children. And she taught her children, you know, different things about the Bible, different principles from the Bible. And say they learned that. And so they added what they learned to what their grandmother taught them, you know. And so that's like, you know, 2 generations. And then they are teaching their children the same thing. You know, and so it's like the generation is growing, and so there's a 3rd generation, and so this is like biblical foundation building up, building up, building up. And then there's like another generation that comes along, and they, you know, they're learning from the next one, and so it keeps adding up. And this is kind of a picture that you want to look on. What's the eternal value in what you're doing? It's building on the generations, and it keeps going up. It keeps going up. It's the biblical principles that you're passing on to your generation. Share with them how many hours you had to pray, you know? And that's one of the things the Lord was highlighting to me. Like, something He challenged me to do was to, like, wake up early in the morning and pray at 4 a.m. And I'm not a morning person. So, you know, that's a big sacrifice. But I'm trying it, and I've seen the results so far. You know, just different breakthrough. And I think, you know, one of the things the Lord is saying to me is write these things down. Have a scroll. Write them down on a scroll so that your children will see the things that you have invested. You have invested. You might not have a flashy car or, you know, all these fancy things, but they will see, okay, why is our family the way it is, you know? Why is our family so blessed? Why are we healthy, wealthy, wise? It might be different things. And also to teach our children how to value the things that the Lord values so that the world would not have such a block. Because the world really creates a scale over our eyes and teaches us to look at things from a different lens. I might be looking out of a blue lens, you from a yellow lens, somebody is from a red. But what we want to look through is a biblical lens where everything is kingdom-oriented. And whether you're in Jamaica or China or Africa, because it's biblical, it's the same. And it's in the foundation. And these are the things that will let our families last and our nations grow and our communities change, because we're building on biblical principles. And so, again, your purpose is bigger than you. And, you know, as you're seeing the long-term picture, what is the eternal value of what I'm doing? And in that way, you can differentiate what has eternal worth versus what doesn't have eternal worth. And then you can prioritize better what to do and what not to do. You know, I mean, some things are fun, so don't X out the fun. There needs to be fun in life too. And give room for new expression too. I see the generations also as an arrow. And when you think of an arrow, it has different sections to it. I mean, I don't remember all the parts of it right now, but there's that little back part with the slash on the tail. There's the shaft, and there's the pointy part, and then there's the feathery part. And you know, if one piece is missing, then the arrow, when you fire it, it won't hit the target as it should. It will be wonky, you know? And so again, this is where the generations come in with the different pieces on the arrow adding on. And each generation play a specific role, because what your mother might impart, they might not learn it from somebody else. And everything keeps adding on. And so till you have an arrow in your hand, which might be, you know, your little son Israel or David or, you know, Isaac or Mo, and you're sharpening this arrow by adding on the different pieces so that when you pull it back to fire it, it will move and hit bull's eye. You know, and so also see your children as arrows, you know, preparing them as arrows. One of the things that we do at YWAM Montego Bay, Jamaica, is that we mobilize, we train, and we send youth to the poor and needy, youth of our nation and our unreached tribes. And even though some of us might come from families that don't necessarily have the necessary biblical teachings that we should have gotten, the Lord normally prepare other institutions that can foster these things and help to give you different stuff that you might be lacking. And so that's one of the things that we do at YWAM Jamaica. Our aim is to know God and make Him know through mobilizing, training, and sending our youth. We believe in our youth and we want to empower them, because they're the one that will always be running with the Lord's vision, and you want to always sharpen them. In 2002, we got a beautiful 13-acre property that's on a hillside overlooking the bay. So sometimes when you're there, you just have to remember that you're doing missions work and you need to work hard. It's not about just sitting and gazing at the beautiful beach down below. So it's really beautiful. And you think about like what the Lord can do in a day that you have been working all your life to do. And just serving on the missions field, one of the things I'm understanding from the Lord is that when you're willing and available, and you can add faith to that, so willingness and availability plus faith allows God to do what He wants to do through us. Because oftentimes we get so boxed into what we're accustomed to, that when the Lord is trying to say, okay, let's move right, you're like, no, this is how I know how to do it. The Lord is like, let's move right. And I'm like, no, this is how I know how to do it. So be flexible, be willing, be available for the Lord to shift you and reshape and remold you. And even when you think you know it, be open to learning a new way of doing it. Because what worked last year won't necessarily work this year. And so sometimes the Lord wants to pour out a new measure or a new thing or add a new dimension to something else. And we're just like, no, this is how I know it. And this is, you know, how I'm gonna do it, you know. And for some of us, that's kind of hard to you know, move into something new without feeling like, what am I going to do? I don't see the next tile. Can I step? You know, I don't see it. But that's where faith comes in, you know. And you just have to trust God. And so as you get to know Him more, you start trusting Him more. But knowing Him more comes through the relationship. In YWAM, we definitely, our thing is to live as a family. Even though we're very multicultural and from all over the world, we talk about just the different values of a family: being hospitable, communicating well to each other, valuing each other, respecting each other, different biblical stuff that will keep any group of people together regardless of where you're from. And a main core of that is valuing the individual, you know. We think about again, going back to when we got the property in 2002, it's because we were willing to step out and say, okay, God, we want to do this with you. So what pretty much happened in a nutshell was that Christ for the Nation handed over a $5 million property to us just like that, pretty much free of cost. The only thing was that we owed $250,000 balancing on it. And how we paid that off was during a time of prayer and intercession. The Lord gave us the name of a person, and well, who was a businessman, and he prayed about it. And I think 2 weeks or a few weeks after, he just sent the money. And so that's how we paid for the property. And since then, we have been using the campus to do sports ministry, street feeding, DTS, School of Performing Arts, different community ministries, and other youth work, Access Camp. We have lots of stuff there for the youth. And so there is always a place for you, whether you're working in accounts. We say we always need volunteers to help us and just different persons. Like, there's always a place in YWAM for you to partner because, you know, the Lord has his dream that we would know him and share him with the rest of the world. And through that, we need accountants to help us balance in the givings and the offerings that would come in, because the government check on that too. And we just want to practice integrity. In our communications office, we need persons who know IT and can do graphic design and can do web design and different stuff like that. Even though you have persons working in those departments, persons come on staff for like 2 years, 5 years. So there are always persons going, always people coming. But there's always a need for more volunteers to help us to do what the Lord wants us to do. And I think as part of that, in coming and in sending and in going, you learn something from somebody else that you might never have thought of had it not been that there's this exchange of people coming and going and sharing what the Lord is doing in and through them. Like, I think about, like, even people like the Germans, they definitely have a certain way of doing things that Jamaica does definitely do. We do not do things like that. But it's like a balancing because, you know, Germany balances Jamaica. And I was kind of saying Germany balances Jamaica because I'm actually courting this German girl, and I can definitely see the difference, you know, as it relates to Germany versus Jamaica. So definitely, like, each nation has giftings that the other nation doesn't have. But it's not just for you to keep for yourself. It's for you to empower the next nation so that they can sort of be, like, completed and understand the balancing out of who God is and see another aspect of who the Lord is. And, yeah, just... For me, when I got into missions, it was never on my list of things to do. Not even at the bottom. The Lord really just shook up my world and just really messed things up for me. Because I was thinking, okay, I'm studying music. I'm going to go into music production. I'm going to make money. And, you know, I'm just going to do all of these stuff. And between 2005, so I graduated 2004. In between 2005, 2006, no, between graduated 2004, started working right after that. So between 2004 and 1.5 years, moving into 2006, the Lord just kind of started crashing everything that I thought was, you know, my solid ground. And then a good friend of mine, who used to be one of my leaders in Kingskidge, she was saying, hey, come under the DTS. And I was like, yeah, I'll think about it. Wasn't really interested, but the Lord started speaking to me, and so I said, okay, God, I'll do it. So I did my DTS, and unfortunately did not pass the first time because I heard I was very rebellious and, you know, just all kind of stuff that you don't want to know. But so I said to the Lord, okay, God, I will give you a second chance. You know, this is me giving God a second chance, saying I'll do my DTS again. Obviously, I had persons praying for me. And so I did my DTS a second time. And it was really after that school that I realized some more things that the Lord was wanting to show me. But you know, when you're so hard-headed and just think you know it, you know, then it's not easy for you to kind of just give up what you know. And like, I'm just thinking, these guys don't even know what they're saying. Like, what's wrong with you people? I know what I'm talking about. But then the Lord started showing me things, and just in ways that I would never have seen. And yeah, just being humble too is another thing. Just being open to like, okay, God, you know, even if you don't fully understand, just like, all right, I'll take the first step and he'll help you to take the other steps. And so it was 2007 after my DTS. One of my leaders from DTS said, you know, Thiko, you should think about coming on staff as a missionary. And I was thinking, you must be kidding. So even after the DTS, I was still kind of like, some things are just stuck in your head. Just put it that way, yeah? But the Lord had softened me enough to a place where I could say, okay, I will pray about it, you know? And so as I began praying about it, the Lord started speaking more to me. And so after that, I said, okay, I'll trust you, God, and I'll come on staff. Again, that was another challenge because I was thinking, working without pay, that's just not right. but as the years went by, I tell you, one of the biggest thing I've learned is just like when I read through the Bible now. So this is what missions does for me more than anything else. When I read through the Bible and I see like accounts of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of these guys, I can really understand what it means to live by faith, because like there, you just have to trust God so much when you're on the missions field, because sometimes you don't have anything and the Lord is saying, do it, but you don't have anything and he's saying, do it. And I'm like, okay, let's do it, even though we don't have anything. But as you start, like, just give what you have and do what and work with what you have. And then he starts putting more, and as you take one more step, he sends somebody else with something else and some other people with the next part of what you need, and it just starts adding up. So I can just really identify with them. It's so real to me now. Like when I read some books in the Bible, I'm like, yes, I understand what was happening here. Because, you know, like you experience it for yourself. And like, yes, God is real. He's not just in the Bible. He's not just a God in the past that does these great things for Moses and Abraham and these guys. But he does it today for you. So you get that more? The Lord can use you to do great things. And he will. Right? High five on that. So, if the Lord is saying something to you crazy, I mean, it's good to have like some wiser people around you too, because, you know, that's always good. But just step out. Like, if you don't step, and this is the funny thing, if you never dare to step out and do it, you just miss out on what the Lord can use you to do. And that's it. You'll just never know unless you step out and trust him. And so that's one big part about just living with God. Whether you're on the missions field or in the workplace or teaching as a teacher or in the bank as a bank manager, whatever you're doing, you know, he will have these faith moments that he requires of you. If you can just play that Y1 video for me quickly, just to give a synopsis of some of the other stuff we do around the world in Y1. We have a short Y1 video just to stretch, Lord, for the leadership, for the children, for the youth, for the families. Lord, I just speak increase in every area. And yes, just that their faith would be increased, Lord, their health, Lord, that they would grow in wisdom, stature, and favor, Father, with God and men, and just that you'd continue to enlarge their territory, Father, in the name of Jesus. So I just say, bless their hands to whatever they put it to, Lord, and I declare increase in the name of Jesus. Amen. I thought about just how your church even had a transition of some of the congregations being given away, and that's powerful. That's a good example, by the way, because I don't think many churches can do that. Normally, it's the other way around, you know. And so I believe the Lord will bless you guys in new ways. So expect it, you know, expect it. And I just thought about like. Like for me, I realized in giving away some things, it seems as if it's the things that you give away the Lord allows you to keep. I don't know if it's been the experience like that for you guys, but But for me, it seems as if it's the things that you give away, almost like what the Lord allows you to keep. You know, because sometimes you think, okay, I only have 10 of this. I have 6 kids, and I, you know, and then you do your multiplication, and like, oh, if I give away that, then there won't be enough for me. And so you tend to like hold back more and like, this is for me, okay? So, but then there's just some principle behind it that when you give away, when you think you don't have enough, the Lord just pours out. And, you know, just, yeah, I've just experienced that so many times. I want to show a video on the unreached people groups. So Brian, you want to hit that? Among the unreached and how we can get involved. But to cement some of this, I'm going to ask some of us to look under our chairs if we see a colored piece of paper. And that's going to be a family group puzzle that we need to put. So watch me. I'm going to walk in this boxed-in block square, and we want it coming right in this line. So bring your pieces together. Maybe an adult could work with a little child, and let's fit them together as fast as we can.